Welcome to Dietitians Uncorked, a podcast hosted by Kat and Kelly, two registered dietitians who co-founded Nutriving, a virtual nutrition practice. We talk all things food, nutrition, life, and of course, wine. This is a judgment-free zone where all foods fit and all bodies are welcome. Thanks for listening. Hello, hello, welcome, welcome back to another episode of Dietitians Uncorked. We are happy to be back on our regular schedule. So Kelly is here as well. Hey, Kelly.
Hello.
I'm just going to run the show by myself. We have a really cool episode today. We are talking about nutrition in January, which it's a thing. We have wine and we want to share what we're drinking. So what are you drinking these days, Kelly?
I have a surprise for you. I finally do you know what I'm gonna say?
Oh my god, yes.
That was a loud laugh. I finally got my hands on some Carmenere. Did I say it right?
Oh my god, you did.
I haven't tried it yet. So I can't. Let's take.
Oh my god, this is happening in real time. We are recording her first sip of a Chilean wine.
Ooh,
It's a good response.
I see why you liked this. This is really good. It's actually, so it's a blend. I don't know if this is how most of them are. It is from Chile. It's called Bodega Volcanes de Chile. 2019, and it says 85% Carmenere and 15% Cab, and it's delightful. Are you proud of me?
Ah, I'm so proud. I'm so happy. This is like a birthday gift for me. You're drinking Chilean wine.
What do you have awesome. Going on?
So I am drinking a Cab Sav, a Cabernet Sauvignon.
Classic.
I'm going back to the classics, the OGs of wine for me. This is a 2019 wine. It's from a vineyard called Ventisquero. It's from Valle del Maipo, which I think I've had from, maybe I've even had wine from this vineyard before on this podcast. I might. Sounds about right. But what's cool is I found this wine for like, I don't know, $6, and it's normally like $17. So
whoa, what a score.
I know. And it tastes great. I mean, it wasn't even bad.
Love a good sale.
I know. Anyway, I wanted, before we get into this discussion, which is a really good one, and I feel like it just, you and I could talk about this all day, but something we haven't really done on this, on our podcast, which I find it kind of crazy, is that we haven't told people that we offer one-on-one services. Did you realize that we've never done that before?
We may have skipped over that, you know.
Yeah, slight detail.
Thinking about a lot of things, working on different projects, so I don't put that past us. I think you're correct.
Yeah. So I wanted to let you guys know, and if you know of somebody who's looking for a dietitian to work one-on-one, we do offer that. Our website is nutriving.com. So if you're interested, we do have a service tab, and you can look at our one-on-one. We do have a group program coming up. It is not up yet, but it is. We are collecting email addresses, so if you're wanting to get on our waiting list, that is something we offer. And we have our lovely podcast, a little tab for that as well. So if you're curious to see other episodes, if you want to see the link, you can find that on our website as well.
Absolutely. We've done some website revamping to make things a little bit easier so you can see, you know, everything we offer, all the way from free podcasts with wine recommendations to one-on-one to the group program. So,
yeah. This episode, We wanted to touch on this, although ironically, it'll probably be released in the month of February. But we...
Such is life.
You know, you plan these things out and sometimes that happens. The month of January can be a really tough one for a lot of people. And specifically when it comes to nutrition, it can be a very triggering time for people who have struggled with feeling like they need to lose weight, with their restrictive diets and coming off restriction and likely binging if the restriction has been severe. I find it ironic that in so many other aspects of life, January seems to be one where you're setting personal growth goals, right? Like you might have a New Year's resolution of wanting to spend more time with your family, wanting to work on that hobby you've been putting off, or wanting to achieve something in your job or in your career. But when it comes to nutrition, weight loss and weight loss goals sometimes can be a very toxic source of strain and hardship. And I hate that because nutrition can be so much more. And if you've ever listened to any of our episodes, we talk about that in a lot of Spanish is my first language, you guys. I'm sorry. I say in, on, or just wrong all the time. But anyway, I guess my point is nutrition can be a very tricky time, especially in January. And we kind of want to talk about it because I don't think a lot of people in this space talk about the toxic culture of nutrition the month of January specifically.
Mm-hmm. When you think about, if you just take a survey, ask people, you know, do you have a New Year's resolution? Or some people really hate that word, so they'll just think about, you know, intentions or goals. You know, naturally, the start of a new year is often a time that people might reflect on how the past year went for them, what they want the next year to look like, what are their goals, resolutions, intentions, whatever word resonates with you. But I think that often they do revolve around nutrition or exercise. So many people have goals around those things, which is great, right? We want to encourage that, especially as, you know, your life is changing, you're going through different chapters, you know, nutrition and exercise often look different for people as they age, which is normal. But so much of the messaging around specifically nutrition-related and exercise-related goals, as Kat said, is super toxic. And especially on, you know, social media, those algorithms are crazy. So if you are following, you know, accounts that even are just related to nutrition broadly or exercise broadly, I mean, most likely those algorithms are going to pick up on that and start to feed you like those targeted ads that are really, you know, looking for, geared towards weight loss.
Yeah. And I mean, one could argue like, okay, what's so wrong about having a weight loss goal? Like, let's say I kind of overate during the holidays and now I just really should, I want to get back to my weight before all the cookies and the fun things that you've, in, you know, been able to enjoy over the holidays. What is the harm of having a weight loss goal in the beginning of the year? And I think there are multiple things that might be harmful, or it might be tricky with this topic. I think one is sometimes a weight loss goal does not have a specific target. Like they might say, hey, lose 5 pounds in however much time or whatever. But then if you do lose that amount of weight, the goal tends to be pushed a little further and a little bit further and a little bit further. And I think the reason why this is the case, and I'm already hearing people have been like, well, what's so wrong about that? And I think that the problem is when we think of nutrition, when we think of an assessment, a nutrition assessment on somebody, the first thing people think about is weight loss. And I do not believe that somebody who is looking to be healthy necessarily always needs to lose weight. We associate nutrition with aesthetics. And it's so backwards because nutrition is part of our overall health. It's about health outcomes, right? But there's such a strong connection between that critical weight loss and that health outcome, or that sort of perceived notion of health. We criticize people by the way they look more than by the habits that they engage in that may make them more or less quote unquote healthy. And I think that's where this weight loss goal gets so tricky, is because it is assumed that it's related with health, but it is not always related with health. And many times it's related with an underlying understanding of like body shame, maybe even some eating disorders, some self-deprecating, some self-punishment behaviors. And no one seems to talk about how toxic and how harmful that actually can be. We just applaud the weight loss. And I hate that that conversation isn't one that we're having more often in doctor's offices or wellness centers or in these programs where we're promoting lose your 10 pounds, 5 pounds, 2 pounds that you, whatever.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And I think that's there are two things coming to mind right now as I'm listening to you speak. The fact that health and weight are like the programs, you know, supplements that you see promoted, they are talking about weight in the sense that it's synonymous. It's the same thing as health, which we know is not true. The other thing that just really pisses me off, grinds my gears, is that they focus on weight as the goal, but weight is not, it's not a behavior. Like, that doesn't tell anyone anything about how to actually make those changes, whether, you know, weight loss is their goal, which it may be, or, you know, something else is their goal, but that doesn't help anyone. Like, it's not clear. It doesn't tell you what you're working towards. You don't wake up and think, okay, I'm going to do X, Y, or Z, because that guidance isn't there. It's like, you're going to lose 5 pounds and that's what you're here for. Like, that is what 2022 is for. And that's all that matters, but that's not helpful. Like, that's not what people need.
No, it really isn't. It really, really isn't what people need. You said you had two things, right?
Yeah, I did. The first time.
I'm very concentrated on this one really amazing point. And then I'm like, there's a second one coming.
No, the first one I kind of skidded by because I was, oh. I think you covered it really well. I was just reiterating, you know, how strongly I felt. That health and weight in the advertisements and, you know, the videos and the Instagram posts and all that of programs and supplements that really target people who are, you know, making New Year's resolutions and all that. I feel like they make weight and health synonymous. And that is just, it's so frustrating, especially as a healthcare practitioner who we know like how the millions of things that we could pay attention to aside from weight. You know, how someone feels, you know, their energy level, their labs. Like, Kat and I love looking at labs, like eat it up. Like, looking at labs and labs trends is so, it's just so good. It's so helpful. It really gives a window inside someone's body. And that's why, I don't know if I'm getting off topic, but that is why we always encourage, you know, our clients to regularly, if they can, you know, go to that physical. And it can be really scary for people to do that. You can put it off, you know, you can rationalize putting it off for a long time. But that is like a true picture of health. Like, the weight, just a single number on the scale, is not the answer. Yet so many New Year's, you know, programs, that is what they advertise.
Yeah. Ugh, I love this conversation. the reason why I love it so much is because it's the one that is often voided. I don't understand. We're just obsessed with skinny people. We are obsessed with skinny bodies. And, oh man, I was telling Kelly earlier today that I have gotten a little bit into peeking into the world of TikTok. I know, I'm like so old for that. I know. I don't have an account. You won't find me there just like dancing or anything like that. But
you never know.
What if I am on there next time dancing my little ass away? I am very impressed by the algorithm. It's an incredible algorithm in the creepiest way possible because it immediately showed me content that pertains pretty specifically to me. Like Chileans, I'm Chilean, PS if you didn't know that. Chileans that are married to Americans or Chileans that live in the US or have had to learn English as a second language or like just experiences that feel pretty like there's a small group of people that have that experience. And, you know, TikTok already knows that I'm the audience for that. There's a lot of wonderful content about nutrition and anatomy and health and feminist literature, which I absolutely love. But there are ads on there. And the whole month of January, there have been ads on following this app that helps you lose weight. They show these like cartoonish figures. It's like this like sort of game that you engage in. I don't know what it's called. I will write it down next time. But they show these images of these cartoons. They're very cute, but they are showing them with this adipose tissue around their midsection. And it looks like this jiggly yellow. The typical picture you were shown about this is what fat looks like, and everyone gets so grossed out, and then they get grossed out about themselves, and then it's just like we're perpetuating the self-hatred that already exists. Anyway, they are showing that on these cartoons, and they're doing these exercises, and they look so tired, and it's like, don't be this guy, and don't be this girl, and it's, oh my God. I mean, I get so angry when I see those ads. Because I understand the target that they're using, the trigger, their motivation that they're trying to tap into is shame, is body shame. They're literally been like, this is what your belly fat looks like and you look so gross, so like do something about it. And I can imagine an earlier, you know, younger version of me feeling, especially when the algorithm is so specific, it's like almost like they would know that I carry the shame about my belly looking a certain way. And it is just so infuriating because that is what so many people are exposed to. And then they end up doing these restrictive diets, these desperate attempts to change their body that often leads them to an unhealthier version of themselves. Mm-hmm. It's insane.
That is so true. And the whole algorithm thing, that example, you know, of you going on TikTok is perfect and terrifying. And it also, it really shows the power of those algorithms. And simply if someone is, you know, interested in nutrition or interested in exercise, you know, the algorithms are going to group that all together and start showing you, you know, ads related to weight loss programs and, you know, healthy living, I'm putting air quotes around that and everything like that. And I don't know if you remember this, but another testament to the power of algorithms, when you and I started sharing accounts, like for, you know, for New Tribing, for our business, do you remember when you started getting ads for Justin Bieber and I started getting ads for Harry Potter? So I'm divulging some really personal information here. But I am a believer, and Kat really loves Harry Potter. And all of a sudden, we started like getting ads for each other's mutual interests, which just freaked the hell out of me. Like, I was like, what is happening? I mean, I love Harry Potter, but then you talked about Justin Bieber, and I was like, oh my God, these apps, like, they have it figured out. and they
you do
it, you know, it's nice at times. Like, I've bought clothes off Instagram because Instagram knows, you know, what I like to wear. That's nice. But when it comes to something so personal and something that someone might be in a very vulnerable space about, you know, anything related to health is super personal. And so when it comes to that, I feel like, unfortunately, you know, boundaries are crossed sometimes.
Yeah, they really are. And it gets, it's personal. It's personally targeted to mm-hmm. you and your insecurities many times. I mean, your likes as well, but also if you're...
your obscure interests. Engaging,
exactly. If you're Googling ways to lose weight, I mean, God, your Pinterest, the next day it's going to be right, like, eat all right. this celery. And
yeah. And as humans, like, how can that not affect you? Like, that will affect everyone. And so the more time, you know, I'm always an advocate for a little social media cleanse, just like taking a step back from it, you know, trying not to check it for a day or a few days, whatever it is. But I think that that can be really helpful just to remove yourself from that space because you get sucked into it, you know?
Yeah, totally. I think too, I really want to clarify that if you're listening to this and you have a goal or like a New Year's resolution to lose weight, I'm not saying that is inherently bad and you should not have that goal. I think that it would be in your best interest, and I would strongly encourage you to talk to a dietitian, to maybe seek out some guidance to help you have healthy goals, because doing this on your own can be really tricky. We forget, and I really, and I say we as in like our society forgets that I think because there's an overemphasis on weight loss, that if the weight loss is the ultimate goal and anything we need to do in order to get there is kind of like what it's just what it takes to get to your nutrition goal, we forget that that can put you at risk of malnutrition, mm-hmm. right? We're in the midst of a pandemic, people. In the midst of a pandemic. And if you want to get to a healthy weight and maybe have or change your eating habits, maybe you've gained some weight and you're hoping to have some changes in your body, that's okay. I encourage you to do it with a professional because we want you to get there in the healthiest way possible, in the most nourished way possible, in a way that supports your overall systems, like all the systems that work together. Weight loss can be part of, it's okay to have weight loss goals. I'm not going to shame anybody for having that, but I just want to shed light into the fact that sometimes weight loss goals only focus on aesthetic purposes and we equate that to health, and it's not always that case. I want you to be healthy and beautiful and feel strong and feel the best you ever felt. And maybe weight loss should not be the center of that.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. And I think going back to what is your motivation, whatever your goal is, whether it's weight loss or something else related to health improvement, but whatever it is, go back to your motivation. And that's a really good way to kind of propel yourself too through, you know, the harder days, because anytime we're working towards a goal, there are going to be days that it feels a little bit easier and there are going to be days that it feels a little harder. So going back to that true motivation can be a way to kind of, you know, stay on the path to whatever goal you have in mind.
Yeah.
I think that's a good transition, actually, to what we wanted to tie up the episode with, which are just some, you know, ways, suggestions, maybe ways to reframe if you have a very weight-focused resolution, maybe a way to, you know, broaden it or think about it a little bit differently. Just kind of reframe it, maybe in a way that's more helpful in guiding you to exactly what you want to do, like on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. With all this targeted programs and fast way to lose whatever, you know, maybe taking a step back and thinking, you know, how is this year going to look for me in my health that is related to like any other, you know, beginning of the year reflections or hopes for that year. We want nutrition to not be a source of toxic behavior, but rather something that can help you support you along your journey in life. One of those is something that seems to come up a lot is like, instead of maybe looking at nutrition as the means to lose weight, maybe you can look at nutrition as the means to feel better in your body, have more energy, be able to sleep better, be able to have better patterns of behavior around food if that feels like an area where you feel kind of out of control. Maybe even learn how to cook healthier or more nutrition-dense foods that are actually delicious, because Kelly and I are big proponents that nutrition can be so delicious and so fun. And from two foodies over here, we have found ways to incorporate really nutritious, nutrient-dense meals that are not just bland and really provide us with all the things you need for a balanced nutrition plan. So looking at nutrition not as just the means to lose weight, but maybe a whole looking like a zoomed out version of that, and having healthier patterns, healthier relationship with food, feeling more energized, etc.
Mm-hmm. And to piggyback off that, something I know that when we're working with our clients, you know, in our one-on-one setting, often you're taking that kind of overarching goal, like say it is to, you know, have more energy and have meal patterns that support that. We take that overarching goal and really break it down into behavioral strategies. Like, what are you going to do from day to day that's going to help you get there? And I think sometimes with resolutions, if you don't take that extra step, which can be hard, like it can be really messy and complicated to get there, which is why, you know, working with a healthcare provider can be, you know, dietitian can be really helpful. But taking that extra step really helps, like, crystallize it, you know, and when you have a crystallized plan, it's a lot easier to follow, which is gonna, you know, make it easier for you to get there. So that's a good one. Another one we wanted to go through is a non-weight New Year's resolution might be, you know, if you're really feeling uncomfortable in a lot of your clothes, you know, maybe it's time to kind of go through the closet and let go of some things. You know, if you look at that sweater or that pair of jeans and it always makes you feel bad, like every time you look at it, it just makes you feel like shit, then, you know, maybe that's someone else could benefit from it. You could donate it. You know, maybe it's time to part with that and make space for clothes that make you feel good, because your closet should not bully you. And I don't know about you, but I don't have a lot of closet space, so I don't really have room to keep that shit around, you know?
And emotionally, nobody has room for that. Exactly. I mean, come on. Like, fuck those pairs of jeans. I know, right? Maybe they looked great on you at some point, or you were hoping, but you know what? If it's a source of pain in your life, life is hard enough.
Right.
You know? I think I read there was a study that, oh my God, I should have pulled it up, and I'm sorry. Because, you know, dietitians are going to be like, how could you not cite that? But okay. There was a study I read, this was a few months ago, that really compared women who wore looser fitting clothing compared to people that wore more form-fitting clothing as like a pattern. Like overall, the majority of their clothes were a little bit more loose fitted compared to like tighter clothes. And the women that were wearing, and this study was done about, it was regarding women's image and sort of how comfortable they felt. And the women that were wearing looser fitted clothes felt so much more comfortable for like throughout the day and for longer periods of time versus mm-hmm. the ones that were wearing form fitted clothes. And I'm not advocating for you to get rid of anything that's form fitting. I think, you know, I have form-fitting clothes that I absolutely love, but I also have looser-fitting clothes that I also enjoy. So it completely depends on who's your preference, right? But my point is, sometimes something that fits you really tight and that makes you feel bad, that just like depending, it could make or break the day. You know, like you put those pairs of jeans and that day you feel okay, but then the next time you put them on, you feel awful because whatever reason. Really think about what is that doing to you, to your day-to-day, to your self-image? We don't need to be struggling to breathe. It's okay to be comfortable. I mean, let's take a page from men's wear. They are comfortable all the frickin' time. And women feel like they can't be. And I just, you know, it's okay. It's okay to, I think in pandemic, most of us were wearing, you know, leggings and oversized shirts and stuff. And it's just nice to feel comfortable every day. It just is. So
we deserve that. No?
We do. We do. Anyway, that was all long-winded explanation about loose-fitted clothes.
Passion.
A lot of passion there. We've said this before in other episodes. I'm just going to say it again just because it's important. Stop following social media accounts that make you feel shitty. Just, you know, if this may vary depending on the time of the year, depending on the time of the month, depending on the day. But sometimes some social media accounts make you kind of question your eating choices and like whether your body is right, whether it's wrong, whether it looks too blah, too whatever. And sometimes I've considered things that I've never even thought about just because somebody was bragging about their body and being like, oh, you should look like that. And I'm like, I've never even thought about that. Is my body whatever? Those social media accounts are not good for you, not good for your mental health. Maybe those people have wonderful, their motivation is not inherently bad. They don't want to make you feel bad. But if they do make you feel bad, your feelings are valid. Maybe just take a little break from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good to take stock of that and just be aware of how you're feeling on a given day when you're looking at those. Okay, one more to share with you guys and then we'll wrap it up. If you have any goals around exercise, a lot of times that can come from kind of like we talked about before, a place to change your body or to lose weight, which as we've said many times is not inherently bad. That is not necessarily bad, but we have to think about how does that make you feel and, you know, what is your mindset around that? And so a shift that can be helpful instead of thinking about physical activity to shrink your body, change your body, you know, burn off calories, whatever it is. Instead of that, really focus on how does it make you feel in the moment during your workout and how does it make you feel after? Like, do you want to feel strong? Do you want to feel capable? Do you want to, you know, be able to do, maybe you start being able to do 10 minutes of like a high intensity exercise and by the end of the year, you want to be at 20 minutes, you know, being able to. Like, for example, I am working on jump roping. I don't know if I've shared this with you, but I really am liking jump roping because it's a little bit. No, that's the thing. You think that it's high impact, but it's actually not because you're just bouncing like gently. And that is why I started doing it. I have a lot of knee problems for the listeners. And this honestly has felt really good. It's one of the few ways I've been able to get my heart rate up. And so even just thinking about that, like I want to find a type of activity that allows me to get my heart rate up, but doesn't make me want to, you know, fall over because my knees are hurting so bad. Like just thinking about it from that respect can be really helpful because there are so many benefits of physical activity and it doesn't, you know, do us any good to just focus on, you know, shrinking or changing your body or losing weight. Because there's a plethora of other options. So those are just some ideas, you know, we wanted to leave out there for reframing kind of resolutions or intentions or goals that you might be thinking about.
Yeah. Anyway, that's our list. And there's probably a lot more, but we tend to get carried away. Our episodes have been like 40 plus minutes. So We will have a new episode coming out next week as well. Our episodes come out on Wednesdays. We are, you can find us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And again, we are also taking new clients for one-on-one nutrition counseling. We do this virtually. So if you live somewhere and you're worried about getting there, or if going to a dietitian's office makes you uncomfortable or makes you kind of feel a little insecure, it raises a lot of anxiety, we do this virtually. For that's one of the benefits, is that you can kind of be in your own space, be in your happy place, and then we just are invited to that space for just a little bit. And we have a group program coming up, so if that's something you're interested, you can go to our website and put your email address, so some of your information, and we will get in touch with you. But thank you so much for listening. We appreciate every single one of you guys that tunes in. We love our listeners. So anyway, we will see you next week.
Yes.
Bye-bye.